the apocalypse, Armageddon, the rapture of the church,
the blessed hope,
the tribulation,
the second coming, the coming final judgment, the end times, the end of the world as we know it.
Here to share their opinions on such matters today are Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Church in Frederick, and Chris Jackson, who has a whole bunch of different things on his resume, but the one that we're going to focus on mostly right now is he's the organizer of Life Bible Baptist Ministries. It's a pretty interesting initiative he's got going on. I'll put a link to his website on our website. You can find us at WFMD.com, keyword faith. That's WFMD. Kind of mumbled it the first time. .com, keyword faith, takes you right to the Faith Debate page. There you'll find descriptions of the of some of the shows that are upcoming and shows that have recently aired, links to the podcasts and all of that sort of stuff. And if you're on Facebook, you can try to find me on Facebook and you'll find links to the shows there as well. So
is this our final day about the last days?
This is the final show in our arc of program.
This is the last day about the last days.
Yeah, and by the way, we are now well into Advent
season. That was totally witty, and you didn't even pay attention to it.
We are 2 weeks from Christmas. So,
we are.
Yeah, so
wow.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We can still say that. You know why? Because we've made America great again, apparently. Didn't you notice?
Right, the war on Christmas. He is pro. He fights the war on Christmas.
He's a happy warrior,
The pejorative unnamed one.
Yeah, the unnamed, the great unnamed one.
The great unnamed one.
Yeah, we alluded to this through all three shows we've done so far.
Uh-oh.
And we've actually quoted small portions of it in snippets. This isn't the first time, but it's one of the rare times. I'm going to actually read a long stretch of scripture on the air on the Faith Debate Show, which we can still do because we're in the midst of making America great again. So I got to throw in some Trumpisms every once in a while.
That's your reason for everything?
It causes the ratings to spike. Yeah.
Everybody likes it.
Yeah,
it.
You just say something about Donald Trump or something that's alluding to Donald Trump.
And everybody wants
to zero triples
in.
The ratings.
You should put it on your Facebook page whenever you something about Trump.
I should do that. I should make it part of the description. This week, we'll talk about Donald Trump and the end times.
Totally. I mean,
2 seconds of Donald Trump.
Of course, they might be disappointed because we don't spend enough time
I'm a marketer. I can do that.
Trump's.
All right, Matthew 24.
The trumpet will sound, not the Trump.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the English Standard Version of Matthew 24.
Okay.
All right. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know on what day our Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is Matthew chapter 24. We've alluded to an awful lot of that in our last three shows. And
that's so right.
If you are not familiar, get familiar. Find a Bible online for free and read it.
Yeah.
If you want an actual physical Bible and you can't afford to buy one, email me. I will get you a Bible. So there's a lot there. There's a couple of
so
things.
So much, yeah. So much. Wow.
Now, John started to allude to this in one of his questions to Chris. I think it was last week. How is it in that context that if you were trying to teach me to understand Matthew 24 from a dispensational point of view, mm-hmm. how do I understand the rapture fitting into this? Or is the rapture not really fitting into Matthew 24 specifically?
The rapture is not fitting into this chapter at all. But there are some time markers in here that we dispensationalists would say are pretty, that kind of stand out. In verse 3, the disciples asked the Lord, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. So they asked two separate questions.
Yeah.
And so from verse 4 through 14, you know, Jesus is constantly telling them, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And he goes on and on. And then verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. But 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Okay. The end.
And so your point is that you're saying that abomination in the holy place, that there's kind of a time gap between 14 and 15?
Let's see. 14 takes us to the end of the world. Okay.
Because that phrase in particular in verse 14 from from my standpoint, is, I think, a key marker, because we're told in several places in the New Testament by Paul and by other apostles that this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world. Like, they say that it's done already. And so when I read that passage and I say that's got to happen, then I look at the rest of what Scripture says, mm-hmm. specifically the New Testament, meaning these guys, and they say it's happened, then I'm like, oh, okay, then Christ is ready, could return at any time. Then it could happen.
Right. We wouldn't see it that way. We would see that we would quote Romans 15, where Paul says he still looks forward to go to Spain to preach the gospel. Okay, so, but again, when the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple, and that's clear evidence that a temple needs to be built.
Yeah.
Okay, that kicks off what the Lord says in verse 21, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be."
Yeah.
And then verse 29 is another benchmarker. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days,
yeah,
the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its yeah. light. The stars will fall from heaven."
Yeah.
"And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear."
So we all agree that those are key markers.
Right.
The question is what we point to as being the fulfillment of those markers.
Right. And we see it as yet future.
Yeah, I see that.
It hasn't happened yet. And then,
well, hopefully not. Yeah. Was that didn't need to be said, huh?
Yeah, right.
That was funny. I don't know.
Yeah, but then sure. Verse 32 onward, the Lord answers the disciples' second question, what will be the sign? No, when will these things be?
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, you know, look at the leaves of a tree.
Yeah.
You know, by that, you can tell that summer's near. So when you see these things start to take place, know that it is near.
Yeah.
Okay. But verse 36, "But no one knows the day or know the hour, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only."
Yeah.
Okay. So they had the expectation, as I do, that the coming of Christ could come at any time. But this is here in chapter 24 of Matthew, specifically speaking of the second coming of Christ. The rapture, the tribulation, and then the coming of Christ, and then he brings in his kingdom.
Yeah, so what's so hard for me now, it wasn't previously, when I look at this passage, is that he says these things will happen before this generation has passed away. He's mm-hmm. talking about the destruction, right? That's the key, the destruction of the temple. And there was, right, like Titus, Emperor Titus, actually set up with prostitutes in the temple and had his standards worshiped in the temple, right? So mm-hmm. so the whole abomination that caused desolation, like all that happened at that time. And 3.5 years ahead of time, there was a moment where Nero was attacking Jerusalem, and for some reason he pulls all his guys out. And what we're told is that all of the Christians at that point fled Jerusalem. Meaning they did that. They fled to the mountains, mm-hmm. and as a result, they weren't under the worst of the tribulation, meaning it would be a mid-wrath, amillennial view, mm-hmm. as it were, that they fled, and they didn't face the worst of it. And when you read Josephus and those that write about what happened at this time frame, there's all the wars and rumors of wars. There are all these false prophets that led people astray out into the desert. He lists, you know, 5 or 6 of those guys that were really significant. He describes how those that were in Jerusalem at the time saw in the heavens the sign of the Son of Man.
Okay.
He actually describes that there were unusual signs in the heavens, and that people actually saw, like, you know, various things happening in the heavens that were like really significant. Like everybody saw it, everybody attested to it, and Josephus wrote it all down. So that was part of the exciting thing for me is that there is very clear historical fulfillment that was recorded in great detail about the things that happened at the time that seemed to me to be precise fulfillments of all of those things. I'll even say it this way. If I didn't ever think about what you say about this, meaning premillennial view,
mm-hmm.
I would feel like I had no reason. If I read Josephus and read this, I would have no reason to think otherwise. Because it's so like the fulfillment just looks to be like precise and accurate at so many levels.
Yeah, a couple of passages that John alluded to, these would be places that somebody who's supporting John's point of view would turn. They would go to Romans chapter 10, where Paul writes, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, but I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Again, that the whole world has to the ends of the world has been, and Colossians chapter 1. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's where they would point and say the world has been reached. There is enough wiggle room there that you don't have to understand them.
Yep, yep.
That particular
intelligent
way.
People could disagree.
So you could exactly. So, mm-hmm. But that's where you would go.
Yeah.
John said, I think in show two on this four show arc, I think it was that show where he was talking about, you know, this is a recent development, dispensational theology. You know, and I went back and I studied. It looked like the early, you know, church and the early church fathers were amillennial. I wanted to give you a chance to kind of address that, because that was not intended as a charge against dispensationalism, I don't think, but it could be taken as, well, okay, that's a legitimate gripe against dispensationalism. Mm-hmm. What does a dispensationalist say in answer to someone who wants to say, this whole theological worldview or this view of the Bible is less than 200 years old? What would you would say? You would probably say, no, it's not. Right, but I mean, what do you say in answer to that?
No, it's not.
Good. I'm glad we got that over. Feel better now.
But no, there are ample scriptures that really kind of point to a kind of a rapture type of event. For example, you know, there's the example of the children of Israel in Egypt. Okay, they did not suffer any of the plagues that the Egyptians suffered and
right.
went through.
Yeah,
there was light, there was health, there was, you know, protection in Goshen where they were. So that was like a foreshadowing to us. Also in Luke 21, verse 34, actually verse 36, 21, 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Mm.
So we see that as a support for the rapture, as well as one big verse in First Thessalonians.
So let me ask you a question, because I think these passages are, you know, profound. I would say that I agree with the importance of these passages,
mm-hmm.
but I would ask the question, could those passages – and I'm just asking, could. I recognize that you don't interpret it this way, but could these passages be interpreted or be fulfilled in a way that is not rapture-oriented? That meaning, yes, like God did with the Israelites, that he'll protect the believers, but he does it without using a phenomenon that we would describe as the rapture. Is it possible that the scriptures could be fulfilled by another method?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I did mention about the Israelites being protected in Egypt.
Mm.
Then we have the example of Noah, you know, God saving
right.
him and his family
yeah.
from this worldwide flood.
And of course, none of those situations required a rapture in order for God to do that. God used other phenomenon to protect his people.
Yeah, and Lot escaping from Sodom. Okay. So the whole point... yes, God didn't require a phenomenon really to protect them, but you know what's coming on the world—the tribulation—is going to cover the whole planet. It's going to be worldwide, okay? And God does love His people; He protects His people. And what I was going to read earlier,
so what in this passage makes you think that what's coming will be worldwide? Like you just made a statement that I think you really believe. But I don't know that you've given me a passage yet that would say that particular, you know, thing is going to be worldwide.
Right. We read in Matthew 24.
Yeah.
Okay, 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. For unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
Right, but that passage doesn't specifically say that the whole world is going to experience it. It could be referring to that there's a phenomenon that's going to happen at a particular location that nobody in that location could be saved, right? Meaning that it is referring to a very dramatic thing, but that it's not necessarily, you know, global in its orientation. So that's another place where I think intelligent people could disagree.
Yeah, and it just struck me, we're running out of time here, but it just struck me as the one main theme we probably should have spent some time talking about is the idea of Christian suffering. You know, too
right.
many people that buy into this idea of the rapture from the tribulation means that Christians are going to be spared from suffering. And there's no scriptural support for that. In fact, there's a clear New Testament teaching that the Christians will suffer. You know, read the letters from Peter, for example, and it's very clear there. So anyway, we have like a minute left. So, John, do you have 10 seconds of anything you wanted to say?
Just that I have great hope for what is yet to come. And that those that are partial preterists recognize that there's significant things yet to come that give us reason to still live in significant
Chris?
Hope.
Just 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
Amen. Mm.
Thank you, gentlemen. John Switzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Church.
Good to be
Chris
with you.
Jackson. He's with Life Bible Baptist Ministries. You can find a link to his website on our website at WFMD.com, keyword faith. You can find this show in podcast. Give it a day or two, and it'll be up there. And I'll also be linking to it on Facebook if you want to try to find it there. Thank our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAuto.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. Thank you so much. Again, we're just 2 weeks from Christmas. Happy Advent season. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Remember the Merry real Christmas. Reason for the season. Jesus came. The Son of God came in human flesh so that we might be saved from the deserving wrath of God. Meditate on that this morning and head on off to church.
Hallelujah.
Till next week, 167 and a half hours from now. God bless.